This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live from the bunker on Fireside, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and how is your St. Patrick's Day? I know I'm feeling a little green, and it's definitely not from the face paint left over from the parade. Today, we're talking about 13 items that will last you a lifetime. Those 13 beers I drank can't be one of them. Those definitely got returned, and I do not mean to the store. Here with us from LenPenzo.com, we have the Lucky Charms Leprechaun. It's just the magically delicioso LenPenzo. Coming in all sunshine and rainbows, as usual, it's Paula Pant. And fresh in from his bagpipe lessons, here comes OG. And can I just say, his legs look great in that skirt. And now, a guy who's always helping you find the pot of gold at the end of your investment, it's Joe Salcihi.
And a very happy post St. Patrick's Day to you, Doug. And you did party a little hard yesterday, I got to say. That was, you went next
abnormal,
level.
Next abnormal level. For me. I'm normally so docile and tame.
Yeah, that's right. Demure. I think it's demure. Yes, absolutely. So happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the show. We are live on Fireside, but as I tour the country, I am live in the bunker. I am actually in LenPenzo's bunker. Here's the deal. He had to send me Morse code, which gave me the special knock that you do on the door. And then just like a submarine, he opens up the hatch. I go down about four levels and, well, here I am in the bunker. And with me today, usually we say hi to my co-host OG first, but since he's right here sitting next to me, Mr. LenPenzo, thanks for letting me down here, man.
You're very welcome, Joe. But you know, I'm a little irritated. You're already giving away the secrets of, how this place works.
I'm sorry. It's not Morse code. It's Merce code. Merce code.
That's right. And yes. I got to say, your equipment here is fantastic. I mean, this.
Why, thank you.
This is just so professional.
It is wild as we were taking this stuff up, setting this stuff up. After 10 years, you start accumulating so much crazy stuff that it's amazing. And the guy who usually is across the desk from me in the basement, holding down the basement himself today. Well, he's got Doug across from him. Mr. OG is here.
No, you had it right the first time. I'm holding it down myself. Right. Doug is in the corner, just doing Doug things. Which is terribly inappropriate.
Do its work.
Over time. Oh, how are you, OG? How was your St. Patrick's Day?
Feels like it's Back to the Future that you're asking me this question. So I would say my St. Patrick's Day was awesome.
Yeah, fantastic. And the person who always has St. Patrick's Day is every day where she lives. Paula Pant from Afford Anything is here.
Every day is New Year's, St. Patrick's Day, 4th of July, and Halloween rolled into one.
That is what life is like at the Afford Anything universe, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Although it's funny that I'm sunshine and rainbows when today's emoji is, as you can see, it's the scream. It's like that Vincent Van Gogh scream.
Oh, yours is.
That's just the screaming from inside my soul.
So to tell people what the heck's going on when you hang out here live with us on Fireside, and feel free to do this because we record a little bit early. We record on Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern. You do the math on where you are. And if you go to just stackingbenjamins.com, well, if you're in the Stacking Benjamins basement or you follow us on Twitter, you'll be able to get the link. But we have these emojis. And so why do you have the scream when you're rainbows and sunshine? What's that all about?
I mean, sometimes you need to have the depths of the scream in order to enjoy the highs of the sunshine and rainbows. Look at me putting an optimistic spin on experiencing the scream.
On something that, well, you know what, Paula, we're here for you. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be sunshine and rainbows for the next hour. All right.
100%.
Absolutely.
That's what Stacking Benjamins is all about.
Amen, sister. Because we got Paula here. We got Len here. We got OG here. We're going to be talking about frugal living. There are some things that you buy once and then you never buy them again. What are those things in your life? We're going to share what one blogger talked about. But first, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. It's Military Appreciation Month, and I want to share appreciation for one of our stackers I met in Cleveland for the second time. Keith just drove his car off the road. But Keith, a proud military member, I enjoyed seeing Keith. And you know what? Eric was there too, who was in the Marines. But both of these fine gentlemen served our country that I met in Cleveland. I want to give a shout out to them. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just Keith and Eric, but all their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. They offer 24/7 help from their U.S.-based member service centers. They offer resources like Best Cities After Service to help veterans transition to civilian life and Best Careers for Military Spouses to support our military families. All branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families are eligible for Navy Federal membership. Visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate this month, and you'll see all of our Military Appreciation Month offers and other Navy Federal offers. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. All right, time for us to get this party started. Today's piece, and it's about time we got to this blog, because we've been doing this for a long time, and I can't remember the last time we talked about Budgets Are Sexy, a fantastic blog. For people that are new to the show, we talk about blog posts by people from our community that we find interesting, but Jay Money and the team over there have been writing for a long time. But when is the last time we did Budgets Are Sexy?
It's been a while. I think we did one last year.
Did we really?
Yeah, I think we did.
Oh, well, there you go. So maybe it hasn't been that long. Maybe it's only been a year. But this piece, it's written by a friend of ours, Pete from Do You Even Blog, who has his own fantastic, fantastic properties. He talks about the Buy It for Life movement. But first, he talks about being cheap. And Paula, I want to go to you. Pete begins this by talking about spending 20 minutes figuring out what chapstick to buy. Does that sound like
what
you?
What chapstick to buy? Now, no, think about the payoff for your time, right? If he's comparing chapsticks, and based on the way that he wrote the story, it sounded like a cost comparison rather than what is the highest quality chapstick type of comparison. He's going to save what, maybe $1, $2? Let's say he saves $4.
It's like super good chapstick.
Right? Yeah, exactly. But at the cost of 20 minutes of his time, I mean, geez, like that's a terrible hourly rate, especially for someone like him, you know?
But is there a time when you do that comparison shopping? Is there a threshold? Do you have any idea? Like, do you have a number where all of a sudden you go, yeah, maybe I am comparing the quote chapstick?
I would say for big ticket purchases where the order of magnitude actually matters, then absolutely it makes sense to shop around a bit.
Well, I guess that's what I'm saying is that phrase right there, where it actually matters. For Paula Pant, when do you hit that threshold where you go, ooh, this actually matters?
That number has changed based on my income level at different points in my life.
It's funny because I think I was having this discussion with somebody yesterday. Paula, was it you, Len? Were you and I having this talk about how that threshold has changed? It was somebody.
Well, I can answer the chapstick question. I was in first grade when the price of chapstick mattered to me. So that's when it mattered.
So by third grade though, Paula, Len was a baller with chapstick.
Paula, are you mocking? Paula's mocking me.
He just wanted all the girls in third grade to say, is that chapstick in your pocket? Or
exactly. Oh, gee. I mean, anybody that knows you knows that if it's something worthwhile, you just spend the money. But when it comes to earlier in your life, were you much more comparing chapstick?
Was I ever comparing chapstick? No. I have never
even
thought about the price of chapstick ever in my life.
But maybe not chapstick, but let me tell you the conversation I was having with somebody yesterday. It was that when I was younger and every dollar mattered more, or not even younger, I was just earlier in my journey. And, you know, Paula talked about her income coming in, her income was tighter. I would compare, maybe not chapstick, but I was definitely much more of a price comparison shopper, because saving a dollar or even saving 50 cents truly mattered then. And sometimes today I feel bad when I don't compare. Like I feel a little guilty because I don't compare more often until, you know, the numbers start getting bigger.
I think that there's, and I can't prove this. This is just kind of how I've observed it over several years of talking to people about money, but it seems like there's a couple of different bend points in income and, to your point, comparison. And I think like after about $80,000 of income, people stop caring how much gas costs, like gasoline prices.
I think everybody's all of a sudden gotten the last few weeks. Everybody now is like, whoa, hey.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Like, you
but
know,
on
now,
an average but, day, yeah.
But I was having this, and this came to me because I've had occasion over the last, I don't know, 6 months to have several conversations with people about gas prices in Texas, where I live, versus where they live. And for a lot of people, it really matters. But that's not the point of this. The point is kind of where these things happen. And I think about $80,000 of income, you kind of stop paying attention to gas prices. I think about $150,000 of income, you stop paying attention to groceries. Because those are kind of the transportation costs and food costs are kind of the two major budget items. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And after about $150,000 of income, you just buy the groceries you need and or want. And you might notice that a pound of meat costs $5 instead of $4 or whatever it costs, but you're not going to make buying decisions based on, well, today I have to get the chicken because, you know, the budget reasons. And then I think after about $300,000, I mean, obviously we're talking about big numbers now, after about $300,000, you stop caring how much it costs to go out to eat. And it just is what it is.
You just go.
Fancy restaurant, cheap restaurant, you don't even care.
So is this discussion though about prices relative to income level or about essential items versus non-essential items?
Oh, we're definitely, Doug, going to get there, but I want to have this cheapskate discussion that he's talking about at the start. I feel like I was much more interested in the price of every little thing. And you know what? I thought it was when I was younger, but I think, Doug, it's more of about what OG's saying, when I had less income.
But even when you've
completely
had,
shut him up. That's,
no, I wasn't. Well, he totally did. Yeah, he totally I was like,
and
me.
Mic drop.
Yep.
Doug can't even respond. That was such a good retort.
Doesn't happen very often. But we're having this discussion. Like, you brought in examples, OG, about, you know, grocery shopping and I'll say food and transportation. But this chapstick as a context I don't think anybody would consider a essential item in any phase of your life other than Len when he was trying to get the strawberry chapstick to pick up the chicks in second grade.
Well, no, but I think that the stuff, I think what Joe's saying, and maybe kind of the roundabout way, what I'm trying to get to is that as your income increases, the stuff that is, whether it's essential or, and maybe, I don't know, chapstick's kind of essential if you live in a dry climate, maybe, but you know, that stuff becomes easier and easier from a budget standpoint to not pay attention to. What Joe's saying, I think, is right on. When you make $10,000 a year, everything counts. Everything's on the table. You know, when you make $30,000, you earn some ability to take a little pressure off, you know, on those decisions. And as that income increases, you know, you kind of start wiping away those things. That doesn't mean that you wouldn't save money if you comparison shopped chapstick. But I think, you know, Paula's point earlier about a value for the hourly wage, you know, comes into play pretty quickly.
I think a lot of it is like, what proportion of your income does this represent? And as that percentage grows smaller, you just care less.
Do you feel guilty, Paula, like I do sometimes, that you don't comparison shop more?
No. Honestly, at least when it comes to the small ticket items, like I do feel guilty when I tell myself, all right, above this threshold, I'll pay attention. And then I fail to do that because then I've consciously set the thought of here's where my parameters lie. And then when I overlook my own parameters, I feel bad about that.
Len, I know on lenpenzo.com, you've been running a poll about, we were talking about gas prices earlier, about when people start paying attention there.
Yeah, I ran a poll just recently, and the question was, at what price does gasoline become so expensive that it affects how often you drive? And I put down, was it $4 per gallon, $5 per gallon, $6, $7, or $8? And it came out that $5 per gallon is about a third of the people said $5 per gallon. 23% said $6 per gallon. 20% said $4 per gallon. And then there was 16% said $8 or more per gallon. And
those might be your high income people that OG was
exactly
talking about earlier.
Yes, that's right. You know, and for me myself, I asked my whole family this question, by the way, too. It was very interesting because I had my daughter, my son, who are younger, asked the honeybee, and I asked myself, it was $6 per gallon. I said, you know what? I'm definitely going to start watching you know, how much I drive when it gets to $6 per gallon. And we're almost there, folks, in California. but my kids, which interestingly enough, my daughter was $6 per gallon and my son was $6 per gallon,
really?
Even though they make significantly less. So it's really, it's weird. Maybe it's not tied to income so much.
Hey, Len.
Yes.
So I have a 15-year-old, almost 15-year-old. And so one of the things that we're trying to do is teach him how to behave around driving and like all the stuff that goes into driving, right? Like putting gas in your car. And so I made him do that the other day when, you know, we were talking about it and we got done and filled up my car and he goes, what does the $105 thing mean? What is that? And I was like, well, that's how much it costs to fill it up. He looked at me, he goes, I'm never driving anywhere, Dad. That's $100. It's like, holy cow.
Like I goes, love how? My bicycle.
Exactly. He's like, I've never loved that thing more. He's like, how long do you get to drive on that? I said, well, you know, about 400 miles, you know, figure 7 hours, you know, 70 that's miles. Right. He's like that's 7 hours of driving. No,
pass.
Like, well, not 7 hours, you know, but yeah, I mean, back and forth to school a couple of times. He's like, yeah, I'll just walk. It's cool.
That's a
no
great
circumstances that I'm putting $100 worth of gas in my tank.
That's a great day. Aha though, that he's having at his age.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Hey, I want to bring one more point up besides comparison shopping is I think, at the lower income levels, and maybe I'm wrong because my kids have surprised me with their price per gallon, but I think at the lower income levels, it's not so much price comparison as substitution. So when you're not – maybe you're tight on money, you're more likely to substitute hamburger for steak, for example, right? As opposed to comparison shopping. Because even I am still comparison shopping. When I'm at the grocery store, unless there's something, a product that I really like better, I consider it better quality, whether it's store brand or not, you know, I will – pick that because I like it better. But I'm always comparison shopping. I'm always looking at the per unit cost.
That is interesting. But because hamburger per pound costs less than steak cost per pound, we will have hamburger tonight instead of steaks.
That's right.
Yeah. No, that's it's so funny how many times I realized, Len, that I did that when we were living. I mean, not even paycheck to paycheck. I didn't even remember. I didn't know where I was going tomorrow. Like it was, hey, can I substitute these things out? Which sadly, you know, I remember we were talking to Jane Bryant Quinn about this with her book a few years ago. She was talking about how that's why when it comes to the health of a lot of people in America, people on the low income scale are actually dying quicker because they can't afford the fresh fruits and vegetables, and they're substituting out for cheaper stuff, right? The processed foods. And it's just a really frustrating circle that we're in. He pivots from this into his wife having a $300 ski jacket or deciding that she's going to buy a $300 ski jacket. So Pete puts himself on one end comparing chapsticks where he's going to save, I think even less than Paul is talking about, going to save like 26 cents. And his wife is going to buy a $300 jacket. He's like, you're crazy. Why would you buy a $300 jacket? Can you, Paula, make the argument that he makes for the, well, that his spouse makes for the $300 jacket?
Hey, hold on before you answer, Paul. Remember, this is the woman who used a rug as a jacket. She found a rug on the floor. So good job.
Rug.
Yes, a stolen rug. So I can't wait to hear this answer.
For people that don't know this story, Paul, you want to tell the rug story?
Sure. So I was at a party in Las Vegas, which is how all good stories begin. And I was cold and I looked down at the floor. It's a house party. I looked down at the floor and there's this beautiful, like shaggy pink rug on the floor. And so I'm standing next to the host of the party and I look at him and I'm like, hey, can I borrow that for a moment? Like for the rest of the party? And he's like, the rug? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, sure. So I pick up the rug, fold it in half, and then wrap it around myself like a shawl, right? So, and it's folded in half like mid-length so that it's soft on the, it's, you know, it's a furry, shaggy rug. So it's soft and furry on the inside and on the outside both. I wear it around the party. It's bright pink. I wear it around the party. And for the rest of the night, I get so many compliments on it. Everyone's like, oh, my, I love your shawl. Where did you get that? I'm like, thanks. It's a rug. I just picked it up off the floor. You were standing on it 5 minutes ago.
I got it over there by the kitchen.
Yes.
That's fabulous. So for Paula, then, it's a $300 rug. Right?
Exactly.
Not a $300 jacket. But what is she thinking here when she's paying $300 for a ski jacket?
That the ski jacket, just like my rug shawl, will last for life. And so it's worth investing in quality because you're going to keep it for a very long time. Quality, durability, you know, it's functionality. Like she's going to keep it for a very long time. And so it's worth paying more.
So Pete breaks this down then into four things conceptually, and we're going to go through each of these just very briefly. Number one is look for lifetime guarantees, where if it does wear out, you have a lifetime guarantee. I think about like Craftsman tools, right? The tool wears out. Now, my problem with Craftsman tools, because I buy Craftsman tools because I'm looking for a lifetime guarantee, I just lose the screwdriver. It doesn't wear out. I forget where I put it, and then I go grab another one. Oh, gee, I would think for you were talking earlier about not being really price conscious, though, I do think, knowing you for a while, that this idea of a lifetime guarantee is something you look for.
How can I hear the word guarantee and not think of Tommy Boy in the scene of...
If I had anything hooked up, if I wasn't in the bunker now, man, and I could play the scene, I would totally play it. But yeah.
Oh, you're getting this guaranteed piece of crap. Yeah, I don't pay attention to that either.
You don't pay attention to the lifetime guarantee.
But you know, like the concept of the ski jacket that lasts forever, or, you know, that sort of thing. I do think about that stuff when it comes to clothing purchases or things that are going to be around for a very long time. I have hiking boots that I bought probably in the early 2000s that are still running tough, and they were very expensive at the time, I remember. And, and I could wear them every day and they never wear out. And if they do, they replace them. He talks about Patagonia coats, and it's the same deal with them. If you know, wear it out or get a hole in it or something like that, they'll fix it. And you know, or replace it, but it's not inexpensive, right? Like, so that's the trade-off is where do you draw the line of saying it's worth it to spend the extra money to get this thing that should last for a really long time. And if it doesn't, then the company is going to kind of make me whole on it versus buying the thing several times over and being okay with it being a little bit more consumable.
Second concept that he has here is looking for modular items. And Len, as an engineer, this sounds like you, modular meaning buying items with parts you can replace separately. So if one little piece runs out, you can just replace that little piece. That sounds like you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I never thought of that before. I mean, but that's correct. I mean, can you imagine if your car... If you know pick something, you know, a wiring harness in your car went out and you had to replace the whole car.
Just gotta throw it away.
Wouldn't that suck? Battery in a Tesla?
Yeah, that's or the battery in the yeah. Well, that's kind of a different story. People are going to be realizing that about 6 or 7 years down the road.
You might as well just get a new Tesla.
Yeah. I guess it is.
Yeah.
But he talks about a coffee maker, right? He's got an expensive coffee maker.
That's excellent. Yeah.
But he can replace the little pieces.
Well, yes. I mean, but even then, though, sometimes it for me, maybe it doesn't make sense. I mean, maybe is it really worth replacing the piece? Maybe, you know, if the thing is so cheap anyways, maybe you just buy a new one. You know, it's just another thing in the calculus. I'm not saying you should, but I mean, it all depends. Because I'm just saying that because our coffee maker just gave out a few months ago and we ended up buying a new one instead of me look and figure out what part broke, you know.
But so was it a $300 coffee maker that you love?
No.
See, that's what I'm, yeah. No, I think you either, you know, I either go cheap on one end if I don't care about it, but if I really care and I want it to be that one item, then I'll go this way, by the $300 thing.
It's a great concept. Yes, absolutely.
Number three, obsessing over quality. And Doug, I think this is you, right?
I don't know about obsessing, but I do focus on quality quite a bit. I will definitely spend more to get longer use out of it. But that also limits your choices. You tend, whether it's clothing and it's less, I'll say less current, less fashionable, but it's something that I know I still have things that I bought 25 years ago that I still get compliments on, and people don't know it's 25 years old because I bought it in a way that
those bell bottoms finally coming back.
Yeah, exactly. And
the best 8-track player I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
it's so good.
Hey, have you guys
it's
ever
just
bought
about choices?
Is that 25 years? The bad news is 8-track player line is more like 40 years now.
The only ones getting that are you and me.
It's like 8-track. What the hell?
Do you guys ever buy stuff that you don't expect to last a long time, but then it lasts forever?
So it was the miracle.
Oh, yeah. It's like the honeybee. We went to Custer State Park, beautiful park in South Dakota. Kind of in the Black Hills there, and I remember the honeybee bought a shirt of some sort, but it's at Custer State Park. She had that thing for like 15 years. It was just a shirt she wore almost every day. I think I calculated she did like 300 washings of on that thing.
Oh my goodness.
And it stayed. It was like the miracle shirt.
Lasted so long.
Yeah, it finally gave up the ghost just recently, but it was one of those amazing things you bought for like 10 bucks and it just lasted forever.
Well, and I did that. I mean, I obsessed over a pair of slippers because I didn't know if I was going to wear them or not. And it was at a hotel in Alaska, beautiful hotel. And it really felt like these were expensive slippers, but I work from home, and it's funny. I bought these super, in this case, not like the honeybee, Len. It was different where I knew I was going to spend a lot of money, but item number four, he's got here, items that'll make you happier. Those slippers are phenomenal. I bought them many years ago, but they still are there. They're warm. They're fuzzy. It just, I don't know. Just makes me happy every day.
Are they bunny slippers?
They are not bunny slippers. Oh, they got these cute little bunny. They're dragons. Duh. Like, who would go with bunnies? You don't go with bunnies. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to turn this over to our roundtable and maybe to a few people here hanging out with us live. What are some of those things that we just alluded to, like my slippers, that you buy for life? You buy it once, you don't plan on ever buying it again. But right now it's time for our big trivia challenge. And this is the part of the show where on Fridays, we have a year-long competition going between our three regular contributors to this show. And man, do we got, as mom said, a hootenanny going on right now. We've got Len has four, Paula has three, An OG in an unfamiliar spot only has two.
What
is going on there? Well, that means that Len, you're going to guess first. Paula's going to guess second. OG's going to guess. None of you guys are used to these positions. Like, nobody's used to guessing in these spots. But first, we got to know what the trivia question is. And I think, Doug, for you, we come to you for that.
Hey there, Stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. Pinching someone because they didn't wear green on St. Patrick's Day is an American tradition that old creepy guys want you to believe started way back in the early 1700s. Wearing green, one might believe, four beers in, made one invisible to leprechauns who would pinch anyone not wearing the color. Speaking of green, they certainly didn't have green, yellow, or even red lights back in the 1700s. Well, at least not in some parts of town. But when did we get them? My trivia question for you is, what year was the traffic light system invented that used green to mean go? I'll be back with the answer after I try to go wash some of this green off the front of my shirt.
All right. Of course, we take a St. Patrick's Day question, turn it into a light question. That's how we do trivia here. And Len, you are first. When was the modern traffic system?
I feel like there's a trick in here, Doug, because you said the modern traffic light with green in it. Let's see. I distinctly remember the first traffic light, I believe, was installed in Oklahoma City. I could be wrong. Some of you guys can correct me after the show, but that's what I thought. It was Oklahoma City. What year would that be? Well, it'd have to be after the car was invented, right? I don't think they had traffic lights for horses and horse carriages. Let's say 1910.
1910 is Len's best guess, or as we've said, because as we go around the country, by the way, we're doing trivia challenges in all the towns in Doug's trivia, and it says your best wild ass guess, and that's Len's best wild ass guess. Paula, what's your wild ass guess?
I'm gonna go a little bit later. Let's say 1922.
1922.
She was just like forming shapes with her lips to see what words came out.
I don't know, Doug. It seemed like real science behind that to me.
I think Doug's right. Yes, that's basically what happened.
I don't know, Paul. I've known you a long time. Whenever you're confident about something, you go 1922.
Hey, don't knock her because she's doing better than OG right now.
There it is. Well, OG's got the hammer and he can use it on somebody right now. Well, what are you thinking, man?
I'm with Len. Like on the, we weren't using stoplights for horse and buggies. it was just kind of sort of like you just went whenever the hell you felt like it.
And that's why horse and buggies, by the way, are no longer with us. It's because of the fact that people are just going willy-nilly through stop signs.
A lot of T-bone accidents right in the corner, Midway and International. You know, had a blistering 12 miles an hour.
Hit your Clydesdale into my...
So after the car, I think Ford was started in the early 1900s. What'd you say, Len? 1910?
Yes.
Paula said 22. So it was before Paula.
But no. Paula didn't say 22. She said 22.
22. So I'll give her the upside. The question is it before 1910 or in between?
Wow, OG's taking a page out of Len's thinkeration book here. This is unlike OG.
Yeah, I'm going the middle. I'm going to say the middle space there between. So Len said 1910. I'm going to say 1911.
And there it is.
Hold on. I don't want to give Paula all that. So 19. Yeah, that's fine. 1911. That's fine.
1911. We're sticking with it.
All right.
It sounds like a good Porsche.
You know what? You are being you're very magnanimous, because you know what? You could have really, you still could have kept the part of those years and taken some of Paula's edge away.
Could have been like 1915, 16.
Yeah, if it's like 1917, I'm pretty ticked off.
Well, you know what? We'd love to tell you, OG, but we don't play that way. We'll be right back. Well, managing your money can be stressful because of all the work you need to do. I know it's stressful for me right now because I'm going from city to city. Not sure where I'm going to be on any given day. All the stuff that comes with traveling, all the unexpected. I forgot that. Travel took longer than I thought it was going to. That trip got canceled. Fantastic. You know, but even without that, money can be stressful. But Navy Federal Credit Union can take a lot of that legwork out of saving and investing. They offer multiple savings products and investing options to help you get closer to your financial goals. And you can put your money to work by automating your savings and investments. Plus, they offer educational resources to help guide your decisions. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/save and invest. That's NavyFederal.org/save and invest. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment options are available through Navy Federal Investment Services and are not insured by NCUA.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch Money. Are you saving to reach your financial goals? Reaching those goals isn't just about getting more money, but by managing what you have. And the best way to manage your money? Monarch Money. Monarch Money is a new kind of finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and takes the headaches out of budgeting. Try it free when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. Monarch puts all your accounts, investments, transactions, and finances at your fingertips. With a complete view of your finances, you'll gain insights on your spending and find new ways to save. Plus, Monarch lets you customize your dashboard, collaborate with your partner, set custom budgets and goals, and track your progress toward them. See why Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it, and why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch Money the best budgeting app overall. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
All right. And today's big trivia question, it was the modern stoplight invented. And Len, you kicked it off by saying 1910. You feeling confident with the answers that came behind you?
It's that's gotta be Paula's out of Paula's not right. So it's either OG or me.
You know, that person wrong.
Sorry, Paula.
Hey, my mouth was just making shapes. So,
I think at this point it'd be hilarious if Paula was the winner. But Paula, you're at 1922, and if I hear any confidence in your voice at all, I'm not sure where it's at.
No, I was just taking a stab in the dark. So, you know,
Who knew? Such a surprise. OG, 1911, feeling good?
Sure.
All right, well, let's find out how good you should be feeling, because Doug's got the answer.
Hey there, stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. You know, as cars hit the road in the early 1900s, multiple inventors filed patents to help control the flow of traffic. According to LiveScience.com, in 1910, an American inventor tried to get his idea to catch on, a spinning sign that simply said stop on one side and proceed on the other. Come to think of it, that would really be handy for me on singles night at the Sizzler. Huh. Well, anyway, a police officer in Salt Lake City, Utah, invented the first electric traffic light using red and green lights. It resembled a four-sided birdhouse mounted on a pole in the middle of the intersection. The trolley wires overhead powered it, and the colors had to be manually switched by a police officer. Yeah, I see what the inventor was doing there. A little job security. I see what you're doing, man. So the question again, what year was the traffic light system invented that used green to mean go? And the answer is 1912. And that means OG is our winner, just 1 year off.
Bam.
Why didn't you ask the spinning sign question instead? I'd have nailed it.
Who came up with the spinning sign that Doug's going to take with him to the Sizzler?
By the way, Len, the
Oklahoma City was the site of the first parking meter.
Oh, okay.
Cleveland. Okay. Cleveland claims. I mean, this is, there's a big, big battle. It's come to fisticuffs between Detroit and Cleveland. There's been ballyhoos.
This is what the Battle of Toledo was really about. Yes,
between the Battle of Toledo was about.
This
is why Michigan ceded Toledo to Ohio.
I don't think people really know the story behind the battle. There is a Battle of Toledo.
There was a Battle of Toledo.
A cow was killed in Bliss, Michigan. And they got Toledo and we got the UP.
If there was ever a misnomer, it's Bliss, Michigan.
You know, that's
that there was the site of the, I'm not saying that Bliss is a bad place to be. I'm saying that particular day, it was not very blissful.
Listen to Doug. He said, we got the, you know, we got the UP.
We got it. Yes.
Yeah.
Doug was there.
The losers in Ohio got Toledo.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good trade.
and Toledo, send your hate mail to Len Penza.
Hey, my family's from Ohio.
Some fantastic stuff in Toledo. We do a group chat behind the scenes, and they're talking about my slipper comment that we had before the trivia. And they're talking about how stinky my slippers must absolutely be. But I think that's a great transition. They're
same
not
same thing as your sweater vest.
They're not
sweater cardigan.
My sweater cardigan.
That thing was washed in 1974.
What are you talking about? I'm wearing it right now, and it's
I've got a candle burning in here.
OG. You're also wearing the vegetable soup that you had for lunch a month ago in that sweater.
Today's second half of the show brought to you by not Doug and OG and everybody making fun of the beautiful clothing I wear, but by Magnify Money. Because when you go to magnifymoney.com using our link, stackingbenjamins.com/magnifymoney, you know what happens, Doug? He's got no idea what happens.
Oh, I'm on mute. God damn it. They helped J-Lo and A-Rod get back together again, finally helping us realize what true love is all about.
So close. So very close. No, they help you find out, though, something else that's super important, that those brick and mortar things that you use every day, like checking accounts, savings accounts, CDs, maybe not best in class. Magnify Money, compare and contrast over 92% of all the things available online. Find them at stackingbenjamins.com/magnifymoney. And today, when things are really changing quickly with inflation the way it is, maybe time to upgrade your banking by looking at more different things. Boy,
that was my second guess.
let's dive into this. We've been talking, as everybody remembers, about these buy it for life items. He has 13 on his list. He's got some socks that he likes. He talks about his stapler. You buy one stapler and it lasts forever. He talks about Patagonia winter wear. He talks about a keyboard that he loves. But I want to ask you guys, what's that buy it for life thing? What's something you buy and you expect it to last a long, long time? And Paula Pant, what is your buy it for life thing?
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is like furniture, or like, a mattress is not necessarily for life, but you know, it's going to last for 8 or 10 years. Your desk.
That's funny, Paula.
I'm paying on my mattress for 8 or 10 years. It better last longer than that.
Just as an aside, Paula, with the times that you moved, I kind of think I've always thought about you as more of an IKEA person. Sure, it might only last a short amount of time, but I might be on the move going someplace else. But furniture.
Yeah. I mean, every time I move, it's such a pain that I'm like, I don't plan on moving again. This is like done. And at this point in my life, I have my stash of stuff on the West Coast, and I've got my stash of stuff on the East Coast. And I know that there are components of it that are definitely IKEA and they're disposable, but there are also components in it that are going to remain with me. They won't move coast to coast. That's a little too far. But whenever I'm ready to like really settle and home, I have a basis already for it.
Well, and the thing that I think about furniture too is that, you know, Pete's number four piece here, which is buy things for life, spend lavishly on things that make you really happy. If you're going to, like you and I, Paula, working from your house most of the day, like having furniture that really is comfortable and makes you happy is really a big part of your living.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my office chair, I spent a good amount of money on my office chair because I sit in it freaking all day, every day. So that's not something I'm going to go cheap on.
That's funny. It's
easy on the language, Paula. Settle down.
That's one of the first things that I replaced, by the way, when I entered this, I don't know if it's second career or whatever this is. But when I started working from home all day, I immediately replaced this office chair that, because I worked in an office when I was a financial planner, I didn't care about it. And now I completely do. OG, how about you? What's your buy it for life item?
Boy, oh boy. I think that I feel like there's a number of things that I expect to last a fairly decent amount of time. I feel like appliances and, you know, some of that sort of stuff should last almost indefinitely with regular kind of service and maintenance. I'm with you in the office chair, by the way, but I did the same thing. I bought a nice stand-up desk and, you know, spent a little bit extra because I knew I was going to spending a lot of time here in the basement.
I actually bought the stand-up desk that you recommended specifically for that reason, OG, because it was a buy it for life thing. It's a lifestyle change. And so, buy the right one, because there were certainly ones that were cheaper, but they weren't, you know, when Pete talks about obsessing over quality and making sure that it's a good piece of equipment and frankly looks good in the room, that fit the bill.
Well, and kind of, you know, kind of along those lines with the office space, when we started working from home, not just in the planning business, but also, you know, from the podcast and stuff, I was debating back and forth as to whether or not I wanted to kind of go to the office ever again. And once I decided I wasn't going to do that, I took basically a year's worth of office rent and put it into the office here so that, you know, I had built-ins put in, you know, to make it more functional for the work that I was doing here at the house. So that was a little bit more of a kind of buy it for life type of concept. I don't generally buy a lot of clothes, but I would spend a little bit extra on things that I would expect to last a long time, you know, jeans and shoes and that sort of thing.
Len, how about you? You know, the three of us, Paula and OG and I, work from home. You work, well, not during COVID, you didn't, but for most of your career, you worked in an office. But what are some things lifestyle-wise for you that are buy at once that really you're going to go big on?
Lifestyle stuff that I'm going to go big on. What do you mean by lifestyle? You mean like going on a trip or something?
I feel like you just got introduced to this topic just now. We've been talking about it for 40 minutes.
Well, I mean, lifestyle. I mean, look.
No, just something around your house. Not something. We've been talking about stuff that we work with, right? A stand-up desk or an expensive chair. I want to get off that topic of workplace stuff. OG mentioned a good pair of jeans. Like, I will now spend on some good clothes and have fewer clothes and have them be high-quality clothes. But what's something?
Okay, let me think. Okay, but for example, when we bought our home, which that is a life for some people, not a lot of people, because people, you know, like Pat Paula move a lot or whatever. But I mean, if you think you want to set down roots, a house is a place. But when we bought our house, the window treatments, the windows themselves, I wanted something that was going to be permanent, that was going to be look good and raise the value of my home. So we got shutters right away. I paid extra. I could have got blinds. I could have got, you know, there's much cheaper than, but I wanted to spend the extra money.
And you were going to buy those shutters one time.
They're bought them once and they look good and they last forever as long as you treat them well.
And the fact they last forever was part of that equation.
Yeah. And it was expensive. It was an expensive outlay when we first started, but I knew I was going to be in this house for a long time. And,
but the amazing thing here, Len, is you spend, about 16 hours a day down here in the bunker. And the fact that that empty house up there above ground that you would spend on shutters just shows what a,
well, the family, you know, I do have a family that has to, you know, they prefer light and they like to see out of things. So I do. I am thoughtful. I'm thoughtful of my family too.
It is very, very.
But that's
nice.
One thing, you know. And a car, you know, you want to buy a high quality car. You know, I didn't want to buy, you know, I got to buy a Yugo or one of those little throwaway cars that they have. You know, that's something too. You want to
Teslas? That's where you're.
Yeah, more Tesla. And you know what? Well, we're going to tick off a lot of people, but you're right. You're right on the money there, OG. That's, you know, that's basically you're replacing the whole free. Well, not, you know, it's an expensive outlay. Let's put it that way. When those batteries go.
But yeah, I mean, what's funny is they've created a universe where the people, once they buy one, I mean, I've ridden in one a couple times, and before I rode in one, I was like, I don't know. I rode in one, I'm like, how much is this cost?
The performance,
Yeah, but,
I mean,
but yeah, they knew the battery packs on those had an 8 to 10 year lifespan on them, and so when some of the first ones to roll off the mass production line are now reaching end of life, and they're $20,000 to $30,000 to replace the battery pack. So I don't care how great that ride is, that's got to change your approach on purchasing one.
I got to ask you about a few other items here. He mentions cooler. Like a Yeti cooler or a Stanley stainless steel thermos he talks about. Doug, is that a buy at once item and you go big?
God, no. No, 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 no. Those things.
You go cheap on those.
Well, yeah. Yeah, because I take the free ones that you know, I get from, you know, state fairs or whatever. I mean, there is not a situation where I need to have the highest quality cooler. I'm not going to be out for 3 weeks straight and need to have that stuff cold on my first round ice. I think that's a ridiculous thing to spend your money on.
When we moved back to Texarkana, I dumped my old Keurig. Number one, I was tired of all these little plastic things just going into landfills, and coffee that was okay, but not great, and decided I really wanted better coffee and upgraded to a much more expensive coffee machine that I expect to last a long, long, long time, and went big. And Cheryl was like, you're going to spend what on a cup? It's almost like Pete was talking about in this piece. You're going to spend what on a coffee maker? And I'm like, hear this clearly. I'm buying this because I want it to last for a long, long time, but also great way for me to start my day. Like I'm a big fan of coffee. I think time for us to wrap this thing up. Let's get everybody's kind of takeaway here. Paula, big takeaway from today's discussion.
I'd say the takeaway is that quality, durability, functionality, the things that will last for life, you know, there's a distinction between cheap versus value. And if you look for things that will last for life, then you are buying things of high value.
Len?
I think Paula kind of nailed it there. But, you know, sometimes quality just for quality's sake. I mean, if you're not going to use it a lot or you know, maybe it is worth it just to get the throwaway stuff. You know, it just depends how much you're going to use the stuff and how much you should get out of it.
OG?
Yeah, I was just going to say quality or inexpensive and cheap, I should say, are not necessarily the same thing. So you can have an inexpensive quality item or you can have a cheap item, and not necessarily should you go the cheap route.
We have people hanging out with us here on Fireside that have some thoughts. Paulette, who is our brilliant writer for this show, says how do you pronounce that? My Le Creuset? I'm not familiar with that.
Le Creuset.
Yeah, Le Creuset.
Also, those are really good.
Yes.
I agree.
And L. Hook, hanging out with us, said, I sent a 15-year-old Eastpak that had a lifetime warranty, and they sent me a new one. 15 years old, and Eastpak sent her a new one. That is amazing. Some quality stories there. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. Well, and that's going to do it for today's episode. Let's find out what's going on where all of these dynamic creators live. OG, now that you've got St. Patrick's Day in the rearview mirror, big plans this weekend?
Sorry, I was yawning.
it's big plans.
Big. Oh, yeah, they're huge.
Out of town.
I thought it was just on the show.
Great plans.
I'm taking a nap. So this weekend we are doing stuff with the things. Out of town. Going to go see Mom this weekend.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, say hi to Mom. That's awesome. That's great.
Will do, sir.
Mr. Penzo, what's going on at the amazing LenPenzo.com?
Well, at LenPenzo.com this week, I take a look. It's the great debate. There's always the great debate between the 15 and the 30-year mortgage. And I dice a whole bunch of scenarios, go through the math on how to pay it down. Is it better to pay it down the 30-year in use it as a 15, or is it better just to get the 15? I go through tons of permutations, show the math, and lay it all out, and you might be surprised at some of the results.
That's a fantastic discussion, by the way. And sometimes, man, the interest rate difference between the two of those is so slim that you really wonder.
It's some really interesting numbers how it comes out.
Yes. And that's at lenpenzo.com.
Somebody
asked me about this when we were in San Diego. They're like, where does the persistent itch come from? No, actually, that was in, I don't remember where that was. Sorry, whoever this is. But somebody asked me, maybe it was San Francisco.
Is that from Othello?
I don't know.
Or Macbeth.
The persistent itch was a joke that I don't even remember how it came about. It was you and Greg McFarlane, who used to be on the show. And we were joking about web domains. And somebody said something about a persistent itch. And we're like, persistentitch.com. Yeah, exactly. You got to buy that URL. And then Len said he bought it. And the rest is history. It's a joke that should have been done like 8 years ago.
And now we milk it.
And now we totally.
It's not even funny anymore, but that's okay.
It's just entertaining us. Who cares, right? Paula Pant, what's going on at Afford Anything this coming week?
On Afford Anything, we've got every other episode, of course, is you and me, Joe. And in terms of interviews, Brian Feroldi is going to talk about Stocks 101. So if you or someone you know is sort of a beginner to the world of stock investing and you want the basics, what is a stock? Why does it rise or fall? How is it analyzed? What makes the market as a whole go up or down? Why does the market crash? Like, if you want an explainer episode into the world of stock market investing, we've got that at the Afford Anything podcast.
And Brian Feraldi, such a nice guy. I just have to,
yeah, he's fantastic.
Super guy. And he was built for this, to explain this 101 stuff. So I bet that's a phenomenal episode.
Yeah, he's a great explainer. So it's great for anyone who's new. Lots of, you know, if that's not you listening, it's your friends, your family, your coworkers, your siblings.
Yeah, but even if you know what you're doing, Paula, Brian is fun enough and is good enough at what he does that it's still going to be a great ride listening to that guy talk about the basics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff there. That's at affordanything.com. Wherever you're listening to us now, just pause this and go subscribe to Afford Anything. Next week, everybody, I'll be in Charlotte and Raleigh-Durham and in Norfolk, Virginia Beach. So come see me there. Then I'm going to take a week, about a week and a half off. And then Northeast, Boston, New York, I'm coming to see you. And then Baltimore, DC, Philadelphia, before we hit the Midwest. So stackingbenjamins.com/stack to come hang out with us.
Are you going to Toledo?
And we are not, but we're coming to Detroit.
Oh, okay.
Hour away. Toledo, we got your back. We'll defend your honor.
It's a suburb of Toledo.
Yeah, we're coming to a suburb of Toledo.
Right? You know what? After this show, Toledo's coming for you, Joe.
That's right. Yes. All right. That's going to do it for today. But the big question is, the biggest question every episode is, Doug, what should we have learned today?
Absolutely nothing, Joe. Okay, probably a couple of things. First, thinking in price per use might help you spend a little more for a quality item that will last you forever rather than buying a cheaper version that'll break and get thrown in the landfill over and over and over again. Second, don't let other people tell you what you should spend your money on. Value is subjective. As long as you're reaching your goals, ignore the haters. Except Paula, she just steals other people's home decor and price-to-quality ratio suddenly becomes irrelevant. But the big lesson? Other people may pinch you if you don't wear green on St. Patrick's Day, but the pain you'll feel the day after is much more likely to be something of your own doing. That's what my doctor keeps telling me. Thanks to Paula Pant for joining us today. You'll find her podcast, Afford Anything, wherever you're listening to us right now. Thanks to Len Penzo for joining us. You can find Len Penzo at lenpenzo.com/shutters. Thanks also to OG for joining us today. Looking for good financial planning help? Head to stackingbenjamins.com/OG for his calendar. This show is the property of SP Podcasts, LLC. Copyright 2022 and is written in part by Paulette Perhatch, who helps writers power their words, their work, and their earning potential with her Powerhouse Writers Coaching Program. Find out more at powerhousewriters.com.
Thanks also to our team who made today possible. Karen Repine is our producer, Tina Eichenberg and Gertrude Smith are our social media mavens, and Brooke Miller handles the show notes and our amazing newsletter, The 201. Not only should you not take advice from these dorks, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any financial decision, speak with a real financial advisor. That's it for today. We'll see you back here on Monday on Stacking Benjamins.
Welcome to the after show. This is the part of the show that doesn't exist. If you're new here, what happens in the after show stays in the after show. You know, we were talking about quality stuff, and I'm curious about stuff you thought was quality that turned out not to be. And so, and I'll tell you, when I was in high school, I worked in cornfields. I grew up in West Michigan. And I saved all summer long. I heard about this thing called the Race Across America on bicycles, where these guys would bicycle from California to, I believe, Washington, D.C. or New York. And they would televise it. And I thought, this would be fantastic. I want to have my own bike. I'd love to have a bike where I have, you see the backpacks on the bike. So I find out, because I knew nothing, that Huffy had a bike that had a bunch of backpacks. And if you're a person of a certain age, you're already going, oh God. And Lynn already is. Yes. If you're not a person of a certain age, you may not know. I don't know what Huffy bikes are like now, but not the highest quality. I mean,
yeah, when we were kids, we you know, you didn't want to be caught dead on a Huffy. You know, you wanted to have a Schwinn or something else.
Yeah. Like, well, the neighborhood neighborhood I grew up in. Oh, Mongoose. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Mongoose. I forgot about that. So I get this Huffy bike. It cost every dollar I made detasseling corn, working out in the cornfields, taking the tops off them, right? Work all summer long doing that. Made, I think, $500. Bought like the most expensive Huffy I could do. The second day I own it, I hit the wrong brake accidentally. It locks up the front wheel. The back wheel goes over the top. I go flying over the bike and it breaks off the gear shift, and I never drove it again. Like, never drove it again. Took it in and they wanted something unbelievable to pretty much, I could have bought a new bike. And then I realized that buying the Huffy may not have been the best choice. But OG, something that maybe you bought that wasn't the quality that you think that it was, or anybody got one?
Well, first of all, whenever I hear the word quality, all I think of is a koala bear and the play on words of koala tea. Just so everybody knows that
you
that's
were made for you were made for marketing, my friend. Built for marketing.
You know what? That I have a. I, you know, I can probably go in the basement here. I think I have it still. I have my koala tea pin that when I first started working in the, it was quite 30 years ago.
Koala tea.
So did you know that, OG, or did you just make that up?
I mean, I'm sure I've seen it before on like a accessories poster or something like that.
No, I think I've actually got a koala tea pin here in the basement.
Sounds about right. I earn them every day. I like have a gold star on my quality pin. Things that I thought were worth a darn, but not. Do children count?
I don't know, man. That story you told earlier about your son, he's counting more every day. That kid's...
No. I love my kids, but they've cost me...
Oh, but
like
not worth it. Yes, like on an ROI basis? Oh, no.
I mean, it's like when my daughter's like, I want to be a dancer. And I'm like a doctor dancer? Because... You know, a weird way to say doctor.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Okay.
You can be anything you want, dear.
Whatever you want to do after your shift as a neurosurgeon is up to you.
Exactly.
It's fine.
That's entirely up to you. No, but I can't think of, I'm sure something will come up as everybody else goes around.
Well, Paula, any rugs that you thought were great, but didn't turn out to be really worth it?
I mean, that's clearly what I meant by household furnishings, that right? Was
it. Can't get
rugs,
a good rug.
Double with jackets. Right. So I would say basically everything that I've bought for my turtle tank.
Oh,
you know, it's just, it's thing after thing and it always breaks. The, like, you, I'll get this great aquarium filter.
Joffrey, that, the know, turtle's I, expensive.
Yeah, it's like a turtle is more work than you might expect. So, yeah, lots and lots of aquarium-related equipment.
It just that goes out quickly, dies quickly.
Exactly, fails fast.
Yeah, it's funny. When we moved into our house, the space, Paula, that we now have a bar, right? If you remember that space mm-hmm. when you were at our house, that yeah. there was a huge fish tank. I mean, think about how big that space is. It was a huge fish tank. And the owner happened to be there one day. He's a guy that we actually knew because we were moving back to Texarkana. He's like, hey, I'll give you this fish tank for free. Well, hell no. Hell no.
It's like, so when somebody asks you if you want a piano, you're like, no, I don't.
Yeah, pass. I'm done. Yeah, good stuff. All right, that's going to do it, everybody.
Well, wait a minute. What about me? I just grabbed something here for.
I'm just. Joe,
I have some. I even have some.
Every damn episode.
And you know,
Len's about to. Just to be clear, the reason I want to wrap this up, Len's about to make us some homemade pizzas.
Yes.
And so I can't linger much longer. So, yes. Yes.
I even have a show and tell here in the bunker. I've got it right here.
Oh, you
here.
Do?
So,
oh,
boy. And
he goes and grabs it because it's radio.
Yeah, that's right. But I wanted to just show. Because so, I was going to quiz Joe so he could answer the question. So, you know, I'm sorry. Levi's used to be much better. When I was a kid and even, you know, in my 20s, they were much better than
felt
they are
like
today.
The quality
they, and they lasted forever.
Yes.
And now the material is very thin, and now that they don't make them in the United States anymore, it's just the quality's gone downhill. And I have in my hand here, you see these, Joe?
Yep.
These are Levi's. Don't say what the size is, but they're. I have worn them once, and look what
it's
happened.
It's already ripped.
Look at that.
It's already ripped.
One of the belt loops just came gone. Completely off of the
Are you pants. Sure that's Levi's fault? Or
I say people
or,
of your size I don't, no, no, don't should be suspenders.
No, no, no. This had nothing to do with that. Nothing at all.
Sure. Just,
yeah. Yeah. Doug, how about you, man? Do you have something to share?
The second forgotten guy.
Yeah. You know, I do spend money on fly fishing gear. I feel like that's something that I want to be able to hand down to the Vintern. I haven't caught any additional fish for all of the dollars I've spent on high-end fishing gear. But
you
it
might also say
good.
That about your golf equipment.
Between 1992 and this year, hadn't spent any money on it. And now that I have, OG is dead on.
Well, that's not true, though. You did shoot a pretty record round several weeks ago.
I did.
Casa
yeah, that's true.
Del
that's
OG.
True. But that feels like a monkey at a typewriter.
It more looked than- like it. It just, I mean, it was ricocheting off trees and just, I mean, we left the magnets on for you on purpose.
You want right. to say hello? Wait, the honeybee's here. Say hello, honeybee.
You want to say hello?
Hello.
Very good.
What? No, she can't exist.
That's what I know. Everybody thinks it's a figment of your imagination. It is not. She is here. I'm verifying that she is actually here.
She's like Norm's wife from Cheers.
Yes.
Like wait a minute.
Hold on a second.
A while, but that's it.
The honeybee will tell us. Did this break off because this was bad material, or is it Len's waist size is getting bigger?
Len's a fat ass.
Oh, I don't know. I don't hike my pants up that hard.
Oh, that's my God. Okay. That was a mistake, ladies and gentlemen.
Len's like, and cut.
Is he giving himself wedgies?
And I think that will end the episode right there.
No, poor workmanship.
There it is. Well, I'll tell them about Bunker, but he's going to say live on Fireside. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Len's reminding me to say live from the bunker. It's been 10 damn years that Len Penzo has been on this show. We should say if grandpa wants it in the bunker.
Yeah. give an old man his wish.
Doug, we don't know how much longer Len's got. All right.
Is this like a Make-A-Wish episode?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Joe.
All right, here we go. Everybody ready? Let's make an episode of the Stacking Benjamin Show. He's got 13 of them here. But first, he's talking in this piece about... And hold on, guys. I must have notifications on because I'm hearing somebody knocking. So we're going to... And this is going to be the miracle of editing, peeps. Are you hearing that?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hearing somebody who is... allow notifications is off.
Yeah.
How am I still...
So I think we figured it out. You can stop doing calculus.
Okay.
I think we got it.
That means it's you, Doug.
Nope, it's not me. It's definitely not me, but I do have a higher level problem solving mind.
He who smelt it dealt it, Doug.
I was half of that. Now, here's the thing. I was half of that equation, and once I realized what was happening, I just abused it. I just kept on making sure that noise happened.
Just continued. Thank you, sir.
Yep. All right. So fun.
All right. Here we go. I think I said, but first. All right. I know somebody's still doing it. Guys, I'm still
that time Karen sent me a Slack and it knocked on my and I wasn't on mute. So it's just there's Slack just bouncing all over the universe and it's coming over all of our laptops.
Not me.
You can just go into your
definitely not OG.
Well, this show's over, Stackers, but you know what? It's Military Appreciation Month, and that means that we've got time still for a shout out to members of our community, members of our family who have served our country. And you know what? Today, I want to give a shout out to two of my uncles, my Uncle Henry, who was in the Army. Let's do three. My Uncle Eddie, who was in the Army, and my Uncle Bill, also in the Army. And two of them served in Vietnam. One served in Korea. And a big thanks to all three of my uncles, my dad's brothers who served like he did in the military. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just my uncles, but they want to celebrate their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. Of course, you may be eligible for Navy Federal membership and you don't even know it because it's open to all branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families. They're all eligible, and I want to reiterate, and their families. If you have family, like I do, who served in the military, well, then you're eligible for Navy Federal membership. Navy Federal's employees are part of the community they serve, and many of them are military family members, reservists, or veterans. Here during Military Appreciation Month, Stackers, go visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate, and you're going to see all of Navy Federal's Military Appreciation Month offers so many cool things they're doing for veterans. You'll also see all their other awesome 24/7, 12 months of the year offers. That's NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.